now will share the time with another brother. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. The Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 13. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, then cometh the evil one, and snatcheth or catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, a final reading in John's Gospel in chapter 10. John's Gospel in chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, notice it's in italics, so, neither shall any one pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them or snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Lord will bless what we have heard and also this reading from his precious word. Now, to be honest, the past few days, my mind had been occupied with the devil. Not too pleasant an occupation, but I've been thinking about the devil. I've been thinking about the work of the devil, and we'll hear something about that this afternoon. What is the work of the devil in Genesis chapter 3? The work of the devil in Genesis chapter 3 is this. He's going to condemn God to man. What is the work of the devil in Job chapter 1? He's going to condemn man to God. So he condemns God to man, and he condemns man to God, the work of the devil. I've been thinking three things about the devil, and I'll give you them, perhaps we won't touch them. The first thing we're going to think about the devil today is this. We're going to notice what the devil can do. And I read that in Matthew 13. What the devil can do. The second thing I'm going to consider about the devil is this. We're going to consider what the devil cannot do. And then I'm going to give you five things that the devil loves to do. I'm glad they're not five P's, but they're five D's. Listen to the five things the devil wants to do. The devil wants to displace Christ. The devil's out to deceive the sinner. The devil's out to defile the man of God. the devil's out to divert the servant of God. And as we've heard it already this afternoon, remember, the devil is out to divide the assembly of God's people. Because remember, the devil loves. The devil hates what God loves. Now let's think of those three things very quickly. What can the devil do? Matthew 13, did you get the thought? He can snatch the seed that has been sown in the heart. That's what the devil can do. I'm not going to labour this point, but I'm going to ask one question. What's the question? When does the devil snatch the seed? And I want everyone to listen to this. We need it in Ontario. After a solemn gospel meeting, when the gospel has been preached in the power of the Spirit of God, and they're talking. You ever been to Ireland? Great place to visit. I'll tell you this. I've been to Ireland. They always stand to sing the last hymn in the gospel. And you could almost hear the clock tick. And what's one of the most fruitful fields for the gospel as far as assembly is concerned? It's Northern Ireland. The devil can snatch the seed that has been sown in the heart. And often he does it at the close of a gospel meeting. What the devil can do. I want to remind you today, young Christian, older Christian, remember this. There is something today that the devil cannot do. He cannot snatch the sheep from the hand of the shepherd and from the hand of the Father. You ever noticed in your Bible where the sheep, where the lambs are in relation to the shepherd? Where's the lambs in Isaiah 40 and verse 11? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead them that are with young. The lambs are on the bosom of the shepherd, Isaiah 40 and 11. It's a place of nearness. It's a place of affection. It's the place of communion, the lamb in relation to the shepherd. Where's the sheep in relation to the shepherd in Luke chapter 15? He layeth it not upon his shoulder singular. Oh yes, the government shall be upon his shoulder singular. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, the sheep is on the shoulders of the shepherd. And it's the place of strength. I come to John's Gospel, chapter 10. And I notice the sheep is in the hand of the shepherd. And I notice the sheep is in the hand of the Father. And it's the place of security. Before coming to this meeting today, my mind was going through Romans chapter 8. After the dark tunnel of Romans chapter 7, you come to the bright lights of Romans chapter 8. What is Romans chapter 8? How does Romans chapter 8 begin? There is no condemnation. How does Romans chapter 8 end? There is no separation. What do you read between no condemnation and no separation in Romans chapter 8? Listen today to it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, we're not conquerors. What marks a conqueror? Victory. What marks more than a conqueror? Overwhelming victory. I listened to a man 50 years ago. He was a Scotchman. We won't hold that against him. He said a thing that day I never understood, but I tell you, I understand it. Now, listen to what he said. Said this: the only qualification for glorification is justification. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? The only qualification for glorification is justification. And what Romans chapter 8 teaches is this: if you and I are justified, you and I will be glorified. Listen today to the words of the hymn writer. No condemnation, blessed is the word. No separation forever with the Lord. With His blood He bought us, He cleansed our every stain. With joyful hearts we'll praise Him, the Lamb for sinners slain. Remember, what the devil can do, but what the devil cannot do. The devil cannot pluck the sheep from the hands of the shepherd or from the hands of the Father. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Ever noticed how the devil's presented in the Bible? He's spoken of as the serpent. He's spoken of as Satan. You read about him being the devil. We've read about him being the wicked one. You read about him being the god of this world. You read about him being the prince and the power of the air. But remember, he's presented as a lion, And he's presented as an angel. What has my brother reminded us of from Ephesians chapter 6? The wiles of the devil. That's the angel. The fiery darts of the wicked one. That's the lion. And young Christian, get this afternoon. The devil is busy. Works 24 hours a day. Was it a man by the name of Mr. Williams from Chicago? I remember he was in Labrador one time, and I stayed in the house where he stayed, and I never forget what he said before he went to bed that night. He said this. He says, I'm going to do tonight what the devil never does. I'm going to have a good, he said, snooze. And I tell you today, young Christian, remember, the devil is real, and the devil is busy. Same man said this, you might laugh at this one. He was conducting a Bible reading, he said this. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He says, resist a woman and she'll flee at you. Now, let's come to the work of the devil. The devil is out to displace the person of Christ. And I'm going to say it this afternoon. Be your suffering from a displaced Christ. Let me say three things very quickly. He's being displaced in the heart. And he's being displaced in the home. And he's being displaced in the assembly. We're suffering today from a displaced Christ. Someone has said this. In the life of every Christian, Christ is present. You remember the Bible says this, if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. And in the life of every Christian, Christ is present. But then secondly, in the life of some, Christ is prominent. But then the writer went on to say this. In the life of far too few, Christ is preeminent. Let me ask you tonight, dear child of God, is Christ prominent? Is Christ preeminent in your life? And I ask myself today the question, is Christ preeminent in my life? You know, only twice in the New Testament you read the word preeminence. You remember where you read it? You read it in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to the verse. In all things, he must have the preeminence. But you remember in the third epistle to John, there's a man called Diotrephes, and he loveth to have the preeminence. I want to emphasize today, dear child of God, the importance of Christ in the midst of the gathered company. I did this morning before I came to this meeting. I went through the New Testament, and I noticed where Christ is mentioned as being in the midst. Let's go through them very quickly. You remember in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, he's in the midst of the doctors. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 19, he's hanging in the midst of those malefactors. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 20, he's standing in the midst of the disciples. You remember in Revelation chapter 2, he's walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And of course, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, how is Christ presented in your Bible? Let me say this very quickly. You know, he's Lord, he's Savior. He's Lord and Christ. He's Lord and Master. And he's Lord and God. As Lord and Savior, I appreciate him. As Lord and Christ, I adore him. As Lord and Master, I obey him. As Lord and God, I worship him. It's the Lord that is in the midst of the gathered company. Go through those chapters very quickly and notice what marks the Lord. He's sitting in the midst of the doctors. He's listening to them. He's asking them questions. Remember, he's 12 years of age. And they are amazed at his understanding and his answers. He's in the midst of the doctors, Luke chapter 2. You know, he's in the midst of the malefactors in John chapter 19. The man I owe most to is now in heaven. His name was John Douglas, perhaps known to none in this meeting. I remember he contrasted John chapter 19 and the third epistle to John, and he put it like this. He says in John chapter 19, I see a good man between two bad men, and the good of the one exposes the evil of the other. You remember the words of the dying thief. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has not done one thing out of place. The good of the one exposes the bad, the evil of the two. But then he said this, when I come to the third epistle to John, I see a bad man between two good men. And the good of the two exposes the evil, the wrong, the bad of the one. Remember, on the one hand, you've Gaius. On the other hand, you've Demetrius. And in between, you have Diotrephes. And in the third epistle to John, I read a verse like this. Beloved, follow not that which is evil as seen in Diotrephes, but follow that which is good as seen in Gaius and Demetrius. I come to John chapter 19, and you know the Lord is standing. Remember what you read? He showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Revelation chapter 2, he's walking. He's walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And remember, he's observing. But before I sit down, let me say this. Matthew 18 and verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Listen to the words of the hymn writer. In the midst, his place he taketh. Holy thus the gathering maketh. Every thought of him awaketh. Praise in